Well, we're turning again to Psalm 34. We want to continue on with the theme that we commenced last Lord's Day when we said that we would look at some of the expressions in the book of Psalm in reference to the one who is blessed. And we started last week in Psalm 1 where we noted that blessed man that the scriptures referred to, the one who puts his trust in the Lord and in his word. And we want to continue that theme in looking at other of those expressions. And we find one this morning in verse 8 of Psalm 34. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We want to look again at what it is that the Lord has said that promises us that happiness, that contentedness, that the word blessed suggests. And we find that this true happiness is found with the one who knows the Lord through his word. And now we find the one who trusts in him. So let's seek God in prayer and ask for help even in the developing of this thought and subject this morning. Our Father, we pray that as we come to thy blessed word, that thou would speak to us through the scriptures of truth, that thy Holy Spirit might be our teacher, that the things of God might become real and vital to our souls, that we might feast upon the good word of God and find it to be nourishment for our soul. We pray that we might be equipped even to live unto the glory and honor of thy name in these days. Help us now, we ask of thee. We pray once again in our Savior's name. Amen. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the song from the musical Oklahoma. I'm not going to sing it to you, I'm just going to quote it. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I have got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. It's a beautiful little song. But what about those times when everything isn't going your way? Do we ever really reach the point where we can say in this life that everything's going our way? I think those days and those experiences are relatively few and far between. More likely our experience is that everything seems to be working against us rather than working for us. What are we to do in such circumstances? Well, the psalmist would suggest to us that we trust God at all times and in all things. Trust God. In fact, when we look further into the Psalm 34, we find that actually trusting God is one of the secrets to living that happy and blessed life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The psalmist is very real when he speaks of his experiences. He doesn't try to sugarcoat his life and the things that he has experienced in life as if to suggest that everything is always going to be well. We find, as we read through the book of Psalms in particular, that the life that God blesses is not one that's completely free from trials. In fact, this psalm is all about close escapes from death. We see it right from the very title of the psalm. David, the son of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. There are all kinds of references through the psalm to the dangers and the difficulties that he's endured. Verse 6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Verse 7 tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Here's a man who's in trouble, encamped around by difficulties. Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." I only bring this up because so often we encounter Christians who think, well, I've trusted in the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and I'm trying my very best to follow Him, so why am I having all these troubles? They mistakenly think that following the Lord Jesus Christ means that somehow He puts a protective shield around them and every trial and difficulty just bounces off. And yet the Apostle Paul told the young converts in the churches that he founded there in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, he told those new converts, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. You know what Peter wrote to a suffering church in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12? He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Our Savior Himself warned us that in this world ye shall have tribulation. We will have trials. We will have difficulties. There will be obstacles in our path. There will be difficult days that lie before us. And now some of those trials, we have to confess, are due to our own sins and to our own shortcomings. We bring them upon ourselves. David certainly knows something about that. He watched his family fall apart. He saw his kingdom slip through his hands because of Absalom's rebellion. And all of that because of his sin with Bathsheba. Many of the trials that we face are because of our own sinfulness and our own follies. Some of the trials that we face are because of things that other people do. The historical setting of Psalm 34 is found in 1 Samuel 21, where we read of David's escape from the Philistines, who were intent on troubling him and creating difficulties for him, and he's now hiding in the cave of Adullam. He's in a cave, he's hiding. How did he get into such trouble to begin with? Well, the king, Saul, has tried to kill David. He sought to escape, but he's escaped to the Philistines, his enemies. And all of this because Saul is jealous. Jealous of David. Yet David has done nothing to undermine Saul or his leadership or his authority. He's been loyal to him. He has served him like a son. Yet Saul is insanely jealous of David and is intent on killing him. And now David finds himself in hiding in a cave. So sometimes we bring trials upon ourselves, and sometimes it's because of things that other people might do to us. What's important is how we respond to these trials. Because they will come, either through our own sinfulness and folly, or because of things that others have done to us. A friend that betrays you. Maybe you feel you've been sabotaged at work and through the unscrupulous co-workers that were alongside you. What do you do? Do you take refuge in the Lord? Are you praying for those that wronged you? Do you recognize that if God had not been gracious to you, you would be acting in just the same ways that they are? Maybe worse. We have to be careful that when we're sinned against, that we don't sin in turn and in reaction to it. So sometimes our trials are due to our own sins, or because of the sins of others that are done against us, or maybe just because we're living in a sinful, fallen world, and trials are just the order of the day until the Lord comes and redeems creation again to Himself. Don't let those trials cause you to turn away from the Lord. to turn away in bitterness, to push the Lord away rather than running to Him for deliverance and for grace. Trials will come. How are we to react to them? Well, how did David react? Well, in the opening verses of the psalm, we find some things that David did as he reacted to the trials of life. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We find that David's reaction to the things that are going on in his life, he's not found sulking in a corner, feeling sorry for himself. He's not moaning or complaining because of the things that are going on, nor is he growing bitter and complaining that God is unjust or unloving to allow these things to happen to him. We find David rather saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. David is praising the Lord. Yes, he's been hunted down like a wild animal by those who would seek to kill him. Yes, he's hiding in a cave, but he's still praising God. One commentator said that he has turned this cave into a cathedral of praise. Nothing is going his way, but life is still beautiful. His heart is still overflowing in praise unto God. Look at the praise that he gives. Unconditional praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. Sometimes we say, I'll bless the Lord when things are going well. And I'll withhold my blessing of the Lord when things aren't going well. But David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. What's interesting is this word bless. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to kneel. To kneel. To kneel in submission before one greater than yourself. And we can picture David upon his knees with his hands lifted towards heaven, giving thanks and praising God. And he says, I will praise and bless God at all times. Not just in the good times, but at all times. So we see unconditional praise and unceasing praise. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. The praise of the Lord shall be continually in my mouth. My praise shall be unconditional and unceasing. He has purposed in his heart that he's going to praise God no matter what. Now, he has no idea what the future holds. He's a fugitive, hiding in a cave with enemies that want to kill him. He doesn't know what another day will bring forth. In another psalm, he describes how there is but a step between him and death. And yet, in spite of those circumstances, in spite of the darkness of the future that lies before him, nothing is going to silence his praise. He's not going to be stopped or silenced by what's happening to him. He will praise God no matter what. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Unconditional praise. Unceasing praise. Uncontained praise. Notice where this praise is continually to be found. In my mouth. He goes on to say in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear. Hear. This is a praise that's going to be verbal and vocal. In fact, he's going to invite others around him to join with him in praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He really is turning this cave into a worship service. His praise is public, and others will hear of it. And he's inviting them to join with him in praising God. And there in the cave, as he lifts up his voice, that praise is echoed from wall to wall, without hesitation, without embarrassment, lifting up his heart and hands unto God in expression of uncontained, uninhibited praise. So often we let our circumstances and our situations dictate our happiness. If things are going well, we're shouting. If things are going bad, we're pouting. But David knows something that we all need to learn. That God is worthy of praise no matter what's happening in our life. A praise that's unconditional and unceasing and uncontained. And instead of dwelling upon circumstances, let's turn our eyes and our heart to the Lord. And instead of worrying about our problems, let's worship God. Let us be like David and turn our cave into a cathedral of praise. It would be a worthy study to take note of the number of psalms that David wrote when the cold winds of adversity were blowing against him. As those bitter winds blew across the strings of his heart, causing it to spring forth in praise and thanksgiving unto God. How at all times and in all things he blessed the Lord and magnified his name. I suggest to you this morning that his praise was the reaction of a man who was trusting in God. If we're not trusting in God, it's hard to praise him. In fact, it's impossible to praise him. If we're not truly trusting in God, we have nothing to praise about. Yet if our faith is anchored in the person of God and in the promises that he's given, then praise can rise from the heart as sure as the sun rises in the morning. Praise in all things. Praise at all times. That's the reaction of a person who's trusting in God. That sees the Lord is still upon his throne, that his position has not been usurped, his power has not been diminished, his promises still hold fast. Therefore, no matter what experiences I'm going through, I'm still trusting God, I'm still praising him. Don't allow the cave experiences of life to silence your tongue, or to stop you from praising God. May it rather give us cause to focus more upon the omnipotent God that we serve. And may our hearts be fully trusting in him. And may praise be the reaction that follows our trust in him. We find David praising God because he has great hope. In spite of the circumstances, he has hope of a brighter day tomorrow. There in the verses 4 through to 6, we see the steps that David takes that demonstrates his trust in the Lord. He's not crying out in hopelessness and helplessness. We're not going to hear him saying, "What am I going to do?" Because he knows the Lord never loses hope. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The man who trusts in God never loses hope. Never loses hope. I remember hearing the story of a missionary who was going to the mission field. This was long before the days of European journeys, which could take you to anywhere in the world within a day or so. He was getting on a boat, sailing for weeks to come to a port and then travel overland to this mission station. A long, arduous journey, far from home. And as he was setting out, a friend came up to him and handed him a sealed envelope and said, "If you ever get to the place where you have nowhere to turn and no one to help, open this envelope." Well, after many years, he returned home on furlough, and he had been invited to a missionary convention. And he told the story, "When I left for the mission field many years ago, a dear friend gave me an envelope and said, 'If you ever get to the place where you have nowhere to turn and no one to help, open this envelope.'" And he took it from his pocket. And he says, "In all those years I spent upon the mission field, never once did I ever find myself in a place where I had nowhere to turn and no one to turn to. In every trial, in every need, the Lord was always there with me." That's what David said. The man who trusts in the Lord will find that no matter what, no matter where, no matter when, that the Lord is always there alongside him to turn to. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He will never abandon us in our day of need. And David finds in this dark and difficult hour, he turns to the Lord. "I sought the Lord. This poor man cried." He's not feeling sorry for himself when he describes himself as a poor man. He's simply reflecting not only upon the scarcity of his own resources, but he's drawing a comparison to the resources of the Lord. "I have nothing, but the Lord, He has everything." David finds himself in circumstances where he is afflicted and would otherwise be in depressing straits. But he's looking through that dark and difficult time, and he can see a light at the end of the tunnel. And he turns to the Lord and he cries unto him, "I sought the Lord and he heard me. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him." You notice there in verse 6, David speaks of the Lord. Now, the word Lord is written in capital letters. That's done by our translators to show us that the word translated Lord there is the name Jehovah, the name of God, the covenant-keeping God, the promise-keeping God. It speaks of God in His eternal and self-existing nature. I came across a Bible dictionary that gave this definition for the name Jehovah: as He that always was, that always will, that always is, and ever will be. It really is a combination of the three tenses: the one who always was, the one who ever is, and the one who always will be. The Lord is eternal. He is self-existing. He needs nothing and no one outside of Himself. And it's to this God that David cries. And this is the Lord who hears him. "I sought the Lord and he heard me. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him." The Lord heard him, and better still, the Lord helped him. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Not only did the Lord hear David's cry, but the Lord helped him. I love verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Let me bring you back to the 22nd of June, 1535. John Fisher would be beheaded at Tower Hill in London for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent the last 14 months imprisoned in the Tower of London, and he's brought out weak and emaciated and barely able to carry himself. In fact, he's carried by others to the scaffold. And as he reaches the steps at the bottom of the scaffold, his strength revives a little, and he mounts the steps, and he lifts up his head and his hands before the crowd that's assembled, and he quotes the words of Psalm 34 and verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And on the scaffold, a few words to the spectators that gathered, he knelt down upon his knees and in prayer repeated the words of Psalm 31 and verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. And it said that with the look of glory upon his face, he received the blow of the axe upon his neck and passed into his heavenly home. May our faces not be ashamed. And all who have looked to the Lord in their hour of trial, who have put their trust in him, have experienced his help. The help John Fisher received was not deliverance from the scaffold, but deliverance through it. The Lord's grace being sufficient for him. Those who put their trust in the Lord will experience his help. He never forsakes. He never fails. Not once has he failed one who's trusted in him. He hears their cries for help, and he turns to them in their time of need. And all who trust God are witnesses to the fact that God helps them during those difficult times. He comes alongside and provide strength and succor. The person who trusts in God can say with David there in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. We find David has lips filled with praise and a heart filled with trust. And there's a reward that follows. Verse 8 gives us an invitation to trust in God. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes we use the expression that the proof is in the pudding. You're invited to come and to sample, to test for yourself. Try it out. It works. The results of trusting God are secure. What is the reward of trusting God? Well, verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want, no emptiness, a complete life. There's nothing lacking to those who are trusting God. We can say with David in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have no lack. I have need of nothing. So many people today live a life of want. And their heart is always lacking, because they're looking for things that can never satisfy and can never fulfill. And even though it brings them momentary joy, it doesn't last. But that's not the testimony of the person who's trusting in God. For the one who's trusting in God, there is no want, no lack, nothing missing. The Lord completes our life. There's a completeness to our life. There's a contentedness to our life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Let me remind you again that that word blessed means happiness to the extreme, to an intensity of that we can't even begin to imagine. Oh, the blessedness, the happiness of the one who's trusting in the Lord. He gives us joy. He brings true happiness. He gives us hope for the future. We know that we're simply passing through this world. We know that the trials and tribulations are simply hills that we must cross over before we come into the kingdom of God in all of its fullness. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, how happy is the person who trusts in God. If you want to be truly happy, I don't know anyone that doesn't. If you want to be truly happy, may your trust be in the Lord. May you reach that point in your life where you have surrendered control and handed it over to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've sought Him out as a Savior to deliver you from all of your sins and all of your follies, that you're trusting in Him and His finished work to bring you through this life and into the heaven of God, where there is eternal happiness and eternal bliss. You want the secret to true, real, lasting happiness. It's found in trusting Him. That's the great reward of everyone that trusts in the Lord. That eternal happiness and blessedness in His presence. We urge you with all of our hearts, if you do not have that happiness, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not trusting in Him, that even this day, before you go home, you'll stop and make your calling and election sure. Put your trust in the Lord and know something of that blessedness that's given to those that trust in Him. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few words to our hearts this morning.